Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. We've got a guest on the line at the moment. Then we'll be following that up with Mr. Excited. He'll be telling us about some more fundraisers and car shows coming up. Then we'll have Men's Table come in to tell us all about what they've been doing. We spoke to them a few months ago, and we want to know how that's progressed. And then we'll be talking to the Millgrove Residents Action Group, MyRAG as they call it, to find out what they're up to. But first of all, it's my pleasure to introduce Mia from Crime Stoppers. Welcome, Mia.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and yourself, apart from being a bit cold, but we're all in the same situation.
Well, yes, other than that, I'm well. But, yeah, to be honest, that is my biggest problem at the moment, how cold it is.
I hate the winter. Yep. I hate the cold. But anyway, we don't need to worry about what I like and what I don't. Mia, you want to talk about now, I know a lot of people that I know and adults get onto gaming on the computer and their iPhones and their iPads, but it can be a very insidious sort of situation, particularly if you're a young person, and some of these young children of 7 and 8 are starting to get iPhones.
Absolutely. So a lot of people, you know, that have kids or parents, grandparents that are looking after their kids, they notice that their kids have, you know, these new games that maybe weren't around when they were growing up. And what's important to know is that gaming, it's more than entertainment. It's often how kids are socializing. They can, you know, become quite creative through gaming, and it can help them unwind. But there are platforms that sort of might ring a bell, which are things like Minecraft, Fortnite, and even Twitch. What they're doing nowadays is blending gameplay with social interaction. So games become more immersive and online focused, but that means they're also now carrying some more real-world risks. So this is things like exposure to violence, even online predators, sometimes addiction and scams as well. So staying informed and involved can help your kids set up those healthy boundaries and make sure that they're, you know, engaging in safe and also respectful behavior when online. And it can just help when it comes to trust with your kid. If they're being open and honest about what they're seeing on these games, that can just help you instead in many sort of issues that might come up as they go through high school.
Because one of the problems too, and if you get too much, if you're watching violence all the time, after a while you tend to think that that's just a normal situation, don't you?
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that not all games are created equal, and some are inappropriate for young players. You know, there's this idea that, you know, games are for kids. Yep. But some of these games, for example, GTA, that's rated R18+, and it's rated such for a reason.
Hang on, do you need to tell the people what GTA actually stands for?
Sorry, that is Grand Theft Auto. So it's sort of like you're dropped into a world, you're stealing cars, it's about organized crime basically, but there's a lot of violence, drug use and theft, of course. And these games are not suitable for children. There's nudity, sexually explicit content, and it's rated R18+. Yes, exactly, for a reason. Yep. And there's games like Fortnite, and it has sort of cartoonish violence, but it's rated 13+, but there's voice chat options with strangers. There's also strong pressure to spend money with upgrades and things like that. And that one can be quite addictive for kids. But a tip is to always check the game rating and use built-in parental controls. So you can limit who your child is talking to, how much they can spend, and you can create that safer environment in a game that might not necessarily be built for your child.
Mia, can I just ask you a question? Like, it's not healthy if the child takes their iPad or their iPhone into their own bedroom and closes the door, is it? I mean, that way the parents have no idea what they're doing.
It's so important for parents to have an understanding of what their children are doing, especially when it comes to online, you know, interactions, whether or not they're engaging with strangers online. So it's so important that parents have a grasp on what they're doing. So if that means not allowing, you know, iPads or iPhones taken into a room, then that's, you know, the individual parent's decision. But, you know, having that understanding, even understanding the types of games that these kids are playing. For example, if your child says they want GTA, you might want to work out that it means Grand Theft Auto, that it's about, you know, stealing cars, there's drug use, organized crime references, and that it's rated R18+. So doing your research and your due diligence is a great way to stay engaged and to help them stay safe.
I guess, Mia, also, that some of these games can get very addictive, don't they? I mean, I know even adults that will sit down for hours on end playing games.
Absolutely. These games can be, you know, in multiplayer format, and they're very competitive, and they do encourage long, uninterrupted sessions. And kids feel they can't take breaks because they don't want to lose their progress, their status, or, you know, they might be online with their friends and that's their way of interacting. So as a parent, you can do things like set daily time limits using console or app settings. So that's actually built in and the game will stop. So you don't have to, you know, be watching. It will literally turn off. You can encourage regular breaks if you feel that's a better way of going about it. Take kids out for physical activity and make sure that they're sort of developing offline hobbies as well, but also watch for signs of withdrawal, irritability, or even neglect of school and social activities. And, you know, you're the parent, you're the adult, you can help them manage their time so that they can build these healthier long-term habits, because what you don't want is them taking this habit of gaming constantly and this sort of reliance on gaming to take that into their young adult years.
And that's a real, you know, it can be a real problem too, can't it? And I guess the other thing too is that what they are doing is they're spending too much time inside and not necessarily worrying about their homework, and they're not necessarily outside getting a bit of exercise. They can just sort of get home from school and get into it straight away, can't they?
Absolutely. And what's so important to remember is that these games can affect your child's emotions, their health, and their schooling, because a lot of them are very, you know, high speed or violent games. So it can cause aggression and anxiety, and that can rise with the repeated exposure to violence or online conflict. It can affect their sleep, their posture, their eyesight, because they might be doing it all night and have late night prolonged gaming sessions. And it can affect their academic performance, as you said, because maybe it's eating into their homework and study time, or it's affecting their attention span. So what you can do is stick to age-appropriate games, set a no screens bedtime rule, and use gaming as a reward after responsibilities are complete. Because the thing is, even though it is a lot of social time for kids and it's more than just, you know, playtime like it used to be, they're actually interacting with friends, it still is a game and it can still have negative impacts on other parts of their life.
Mia, I've just got to take one quick break and then we'll come back and we'll tell parents or grandparents some ways that they can perhaps minimise a threat.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
I love your style and everything you say, and we would make the perfect combination. I'm a dreamer, so I'll dream. So far away, Lord, tell me what I'm thinking. I want a change. A revelation, I'm a dreamer, so I'll dream. I want a change, give me a revelation. I'm a dreamer, so I'll dream.
was going to start to talk about how to protect your child and what you can do yes. about it. Yep.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's so important to be aware of what is your child is doing online, especially these days when a lot of the games are through an online platform. So you're able to, for example, you think you're speaking to a 13-year-old Stephen in Canberra, but really you're speaking to a 55-year-old Mike in Austin, Texas. You know, it's so important.
Who can be a dirty old man?
Exactly. And you want even the kid-friendly games, you know, have this online play function occasionally, and you want to make sure, you know, Minecraft is a good example where it's about world building, it's about creativity, but there are online sort of options where, you know, grooming and bullying and swearing can occur. And so if your child is at an age where they don't know, you know, what sort of behaviors would constitute as grooming, you want to make sure parental controls are on so that chat is restricted and it can filter content so that maybe, you know, there are less swearing when it comes to the storylines and there is, you know, much more age-appropriate content. Also, it's important to monitor who your child is playing with and how they're interacting. For example, lots of children these days are able to, you know, work out how to control their own parental controls and can switch them off. And so it's so important that if your child is gaming, you can see who they're gaming with, you can see who they're talking with, and you can monitor what is going on. And as well, you might want to see how they're speaking to others, because a lot of bullying happens, you know, via gaming platforms. So if your child is speaking to others, make sure they're doing so respectfully. And you can teach them how to block and report bad behavior and come to you with their concerns. But most importantly, keep the conversation open and let your child know that they can talk to you if something makes them feel uncomfortable.
I was just going to say that to you, that one of the most important things is not to always not to talk down to your children, is to have that dialogue so that they're not frightened to come to mum and dad and say, hey, this is happening. Because some of these where children have taken drastic solutions often because they feel they can't talk to anybody else about it. So it mightn't always be a good conversation for you, but you need to keep that dialogue open so that the child can tell you anything, shouldn't you?
Absolutely. Open dialogue is what's going to really help you here. If you even maybe play a game with your child so you understand the games that you're playing. Maybe watch them, be like, hey, I'm interested. How do you play this game? Do you mind if I sit in with you for a bit? Maybe you buy a game together and you start a new game so that you're involved in this part of their world and it's not a completely sort of hidden area of their life that you don't understand. You don't need to ban gaming, but you can do things to make it safer. And it's important that you do know what they're doing online, because the online world can be a dangerous place, you know, if kids are unmonitored.
It's very unfair, you know, and I've said this a few times on air, but a lot of these situations, they were designed for a lot of fun, but then we've got people that have manipulated the situation to suit themselves, and you sort of get to the stage where you don't know who to trust or what to trust, is it?
It's so unfortunate that, yes, some people are using the online world and gaming for evil, when really it is a great place where kids, you know, creativity can thrive, they can have great connections, and they can have a lot of fun, because that's what it is there for. But if there's no involvement from the parents and it's, you know, done in isolation, then that's when, you know, the concerns can come to the surface and dangers can arise. Because, you know, you don't want your children speaking to people that they don't know and in an unsafe way. So you have to make sure that you're observing what they're doing and you're getting involved. Maybe it's not your favorite thing to do, playing games online, but it could be that thing that helps your kid feel safe and it helps them, you know, maybe think that you're interested in what they're doing and they can come to you if they do have concerns.
Yeah, I've always felt that as a parent that they should be able to talk to you on any subject, even if it might be something dark or something that you know, perhaps isn't as good as for them as what it should be. But if you've got that open dialogue, you hope that they would bring anything before they go and get involved any further, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I think that, like you said, that open communication, making your children feel comfortable. You can, you know, have a space where you can come, they can come to you with no judgment. Yep. And then that stops
them. That's a word. I'm glad you hit that word. I was trying to think of that word. I think that's terrific, isn't it? That
Yeah.
To have no judgment against them, like just listen to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's of course, I'm sure it's hard as for parents to do, but having that you know, free, comfortable space where you can go to them without judgment can make them come to you if they are uncomfortable by something and they're not trying to deal with everything alone and by themselves or hiding things from you. So talking to your kids about any of the risks that are involved in gaming or online, you know, play in general, whether that's social media as well, having that open dialogue is so important.
See, one of the things, and this interview is never about me, but one of the greatest things I remember about my father, I could have talked to him on any subject I like, and he would have never said, oh, you're a fool or anything like that. He would always listen and then talk me through it. And I remember that now, and I'm not a young man. That's one of the greatest things I reckon my father ever did.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great approach, really, like having that option to ask your parents questions. That means that, you know, you might learn so much more. So, you know, it might be a bit of a tricky topic, understanding grooming and online safety, but having that chat with your kids might be the difference between them recognizing it if it occurs and not. So having those uncomfortable chats, you know, not you know, hiding away from the truth, that's so important so that kids can recognize and call out, report, block all this bad online behavior.
Sounds terrific. Mia, look, it's been great having you with us again. We look forward to talking to you again next month with another great topic. And thank you for your time, Mia.
Thank you so much, Alan.